I want to talk about the layers, and this gets complicated, but you can get into confusion of things like what's the difference between APRS and packet, which is kind of like asking what's the difference between a station wagon and a blue car. Yeah, you're not talking about the same kind of stuff. So let me just try this and see if it helps clarify things. So there's different layers of the communication that are going on, and each layer is built on what's below it. Layer one is the physical layer. So if you're communicating digitally on radio, what are you sending? You're sending tones. That's all you've got. All right. So like RIDI is 1200 hertz or 2200 hertz, 22 or 2400 hertz, right? And might be an A, D-doot might be a B. In packet, it's the same type of thing. You've got two tones. So at some layer in this thing, there's got to be some gadget, probably something like this, which is one of the devices that hooks your radio up to your computer, that takes an A and turns it into a D-doot. Okay, because everything is going to be sound at the beginning. That's what this layer is doing. It's taking characters and turning them into sounds. All right, let's go up a layer above that. Now we want to form a packet. Now we want to send information. Okay, so we're going to have things like an address and the data that you're sending. I'm going to get into the format of this a little bit later. Okay, so this layer is figuring out we need WB2MNF here, we need K2ZA here, we need good morning here. And it's going to turn that into letters. It's going to send it down to this layer, and this layer is going to say, okay, I know how to take that and turn it into tones. Okay, so this layer is sending data down to this layer. Okay, and this is the link. Then we've got the thing of, okay, now I've got a packet, now I want to talk to Carl. How do I communicate with Carl? What's the protocol for sending something to Carl? We know how to make a packet, but we don't know how to have Carl, for example, acknowledge that he got the packet. So this is basically, how do we talk to each other? Okay, so we'll take packets, and I'll send a packet to Carl saying, I want to connect to you, and Carl will send a packet saying, okay, I confirm that. Then I'm going to send a packet to Carl saying, here's some data, and Carl will send back a packet saying, I acknowledge that data. That's what's happening here.
Is that the connection layer between the two stations?
Yeah, and this is layer three and layer four. There's seven layers in the protocol, and we're abstracting out the ones that we care about. Okay. So this basically relies on that, right? This is basically built on this. And then you get up to the application. So you've got something like WinLink or APRS. They don't care about the bottom part of this. WinLink is basically saying, I want to send a message. I want to send, you know, dear Carl, can you come to the clubhouse today? So we'll take that and we'll shove it down to the network layer. The network layer says, well, I know how to talk back and forth to Carl. And the data link layer says, well, I know how to form the packets. And the physical layer says, well, I know how to make the tones. And that's kind of the way everything stacks all the way up. And my point is that these are agnostic to that. You can run WinLink. And you do, you could run it on packet, you could run it on VARA, you could run it on VARA HF, you could run it on PacTor. Okay. It'll just be talking to different things further down in the stack. Same thing with APRS. You could run APRS on Meshtastic. Not on Meshtastic, but on LoRa. Okay. And it's just different tones with different types of packets. This doesn't care. It's going to send the data that it wants to send down to this layer and depend on this layer to take care of everything else.
And like, there's a lot of people fooling around on with APRS on HF that are using VARA. They're using another protocol called FX25. There's a third protocol called Robust Packet. Again, the application doesn't care what the, right. about the train, how the, it doesn't care how the magic happens. It just knows that it's going to cough up some characters into an address, and there's going to be some characters that get sent back.
And that's the whole point of this thing. You've got different layers of the protocol in the software somewhere that do different things. Sometimes it's a different physical device. Okay, sometimes, you know, this stuff is being handled by a hardware TNC that I don't have one of, and this is being handled by a computer. Okay. In the case of using a software modem like this, this basically hooks up to an HT and your computer, and this creates the tones. So in this case, this is creating the physical layer, and the computer's doing everything up from there. Does it matter? It's kind of plug and play, but I just wanted to get across kind of the idea of what the different layers are, and that APRS isn't tied to AX25 or packet or anything like that.
That's the genius of this model. Is any of those layers, you can change out the bits inside, and the other layers don't care.
Right.
It's defined how each layer interacts with the other, and the goings on inside each layer doesn't matter.
What about layer 5 and 6?
They're there, and I don't know what they are, and they're really not appropriate for this. Like I said, this is I think this is an ISO model, and there's seven layers to it.
Yeah, it's part of the ISO 7 layer, because it's missing the layer 0 and 5 and 6. There are some parts of this that just don't apply to a radio-based network, because you have to. This is, remember too, when this was developed, this was pre-Wi-Fi, so we did not, sending data over radio was not something commonly done. So there are, things that were done in this protocol because it's a child of its time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The predecessor to this would have been RIDI, and none of that stuff applies to RIDI. Okay. So this is basically talking about the way packets send stuff. If you're doing voice and you get static, or you get noise or something like that, your voice quality kind of goes down, and sometimes you can understand words and sometimes you can't. In packet, it's all or nothing. You either get it or you don't get it, and I'll show you how that determination is made.
Question. I missed something. Packet, is that used for both texting and for voice?
It's used for any type of data. Okay. And data can be pretty much anything.
That's another foolish question. How does that relate to DMR? Is it similar? Like the DMR, you're taking your voice.
DMR is voice. Right, okay. It is digitized voice. And it is sent. Your base layer could be similar, okay? Because everything that's digital in radio has got to be toned somehow.
Right.
Okay. But it's not really relevant to what we're talking about.
Right, but I'm just trying to understand, because it sounds like you said voice. I always thought packet was texting.
The 1200-baud packet is not fast enough to send voice. But there's nothing about the packet protocol that's bound to 1200 baud.
Okay.
If you could run packets at 56 kilobits, you could probably send voice with it.
Okay.
In fact, Al and I played with that back in the day. We had a pair of 56K modems set up between my house in Franklinville and his house over here in Aura. And we played around with that a little bit. We couldn't do it real time. You would have to take a WAV file and digitize it. And even at 56K, it was not a non-real time process.
Okay.
We could do it.
Right. But it's a function of speed. It's not a function of the protocol.
Right. But the structure, the actual packet structure, yes, is built into your DMR radios, built into your cell phone.
Okay.
It's all packet switching technology.
Okay.
It's
thank
something
you.
Like that. It's not AX25.
Yeah. Which and is what we're talking what's about. Actually happening is that it's taking your voice, if you're doing voice, for instance, and it's dividing it up into little chunks, which it then digitizes and sends out.
Okay.
And at the other end, it has to take those chunks and sort of glue them all back together again to make voice at that end.
Voice texting.
So my point here is that when we're talking analog, our speed remains the same. If I'm continuing to talk to you and there's a lot of QRM, you're receiving my talking isn't going to drop. The quality's going to drop. In packet, if a packet gets dropped, the packet goes away. Okay, so it's either perfect or not there. Okay, that's the way packet works. Now, how does that work? I'll show you in about three more slides. So this is what's actually in a packet. There's a whole bunch of characters that go into a packet. Let me start in the middle. What do you need to know in a packet? Well, you need to know where it's coming from, okay, where it's going, and whether you need to repeat it along the way. And I've got a slide about digipeater, so I'm not going to talk about that right now. But if it's coming from me going to Carl, there's got to be a WB2MNF in there, and there's got to be a W2KBF in there somewhere. So there's an address field that includes those fields. What else do you need to send? Well, you're going to send some information about something. So there's got to be something in there that's got the information in it. Okay. Then, like I said, it's either perfect or not there. So how do we do that? That's what's done with this thing, which is called the frame check sequence. And I'm going to oversimplify this dramatically, but it'll still work. So basically what happens in a checksum or something like this is if I send you a packet that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in it, 1 + 2 = 3 + 3 = 6 + 4 = 10 + 5 = 15. So I'm going to have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I'm going to have a 15 on the end. And when you get that packet, you're going to add up what you think was the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And if it doesn't equal 15, you're going to throw it away. Okay? That's how you know it's bad. Now, it's far more complicated than that, but that's the basic principle. Okay, that's a checksum. This is a frame check sequence. So that's what this is for. This is to make sure that we're decoding all of the rest of this stuff correctly.
So, two-part question.
Yeah.
Under the address field, if you have a like wide three in there, what layer actually maintains the count that's going through?
Wide three is an APRS specific question.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So it's not
correct.
Okay.
But it relies on a function of AX25 called unconnected mode or broadcast mode.
I'll talk about in a few slides.
And you're mixing up two things here, the physical part about just broadcasting, but you're also, there's a logical part called an alias. And aliases are not exclusive. Aliases are part of AX25, not part of APRS.
Okay.
Bob just leveraged the alias structure to do the wide and all the other fun hacks that make APRS what it. But no, that's actually an AX25 function.
Okay, and then the protocol ID, it says that identifying layer 3 protocol. Can you elaborate on that?
That's the part that says this is an AX25 packet, because there's plenty other. Like I said, Vancouver was a packet. There's plenty of other on-the-air hardware protocols, and that's telling our TNC, hey, this packet is this type. Again, it was never really implemented, but thanks to guys like Bedale and Tom Clark and all these, Phil Karn, they put in a bit where they could say, hey, if a better protocol comes along that's going to share our frequencies, let's be able to sniff that other protocol and we can do different things with it.
Okay, but for the purposes of this, it's just an optional thing.
It's always going to be the same for AX25 level 2.
Okay.
Then the control field is a couple of things. It defines the frame type, which I'll talk about in a minute, so I won't talk about it here, and the sequence number, so that kind of lets you know that you might be sending a whole bunch of packets in order, and you need something to tell you what order they're in. Okay, and I'll get into that a little bit later, but that's what this is. Then the start and the end are Chris.
Quick question on sequence number. Does that also help on the reassembly when they're received?
Exactly, and that's why it's there. Exactly, right. And I'll show you that in a minute.
On the protocol, Jonathan, so was this finally all standardized in the early 1980s, and has it not changed since then?
AX25 has not changed.
It seems to be compatible going back to 1986.
Oh, wow. Well, again, because
I think I can still use my TNC one.
Again, it speaks to the genius of the guys that wrote all this. They took something from the commercial world that did 80% of what they wanted to do, and when they adapted it to ham radio, they were forward thinking enough that we want to leave open spots in this protocol for any possible development, which is why, 40 years on, AX20 still works.
Yeah, and X25, we didn't say this yet. X25 is a commercial protocol. The A at AX25 is amateur. Okay, that's basically what Phil and BDL did. So, starting and ending flag. So, if you've worked FT8, you know how critical the timing is, all right? Because FT8 knows that packets start at a specific time, and if your clock's not right, you won't be able to synchronize with packet. There's no such thing in X25. Packets can start and end any time. So you've got to know when, if you're listening to a whole bunch of data, when the beginning of a packet is, because it's not synchronous. It's not timed to anything. Okay. So this is a particular sequence of bits that doesn't occur anywhere else. And when you get it, you know, okay, this is the beginning of a packet. I can start decoding. Okay. And there is code that basically says, if this bit pattern was going to occur here, I will change it so it doesn't.